Yeah, I remember we were passing the little miniature, you know, crab cakes, and I just heard the first gong, and right after that I hear this guy shout, "There he is, there he is,
there he is, there he is."
You know, everybody thought, well, here he comes, right on time. It's a little weird because nobody heard a plane or anything. It was just like, there he is, there he is,
there he is.
First I see this sort of blob or dot, whatever, just like this sort of a blob, okay? And maybe, I don't know, maybe after the fifth gong, it's like, oh my god, there's something wrong.
Just like this sort of a blob, okay?
Nothing you can put your finger on, but something's wrong. And the crowd sort of tenses up, and a few people start moving off the grass over to the buildings out of the way.
There he is, there he is.
Then maybe at gong 9 or 10, it was like, oh my god, that diver does not have a chute.
No chute.
And his hands and legs are all like spread eagle, you know, like he's flying and everything, but there's no chute.
No chute.
Just kind of weird. Anyway, by now, people are like scrambling out of there big time. I mean, they're seriously on the move because it looks like, you know, the hammer is dropping like some kind of dead bird.
Just like this sort of a blob, okay?
No more gonging, just this sickly sort of a thud.
Thud.
Just screaming too, people running all over the place. And I just keep saying to myself, you know, be calm, be calm,
be calm, be calm.
I mean, the guy was some kind of zillionaire and he just like crashed, you know? Thud. So I just force myself to chill and look, and then I see the body in the grass, and then, I mean, you can't miss, like, that he's naked, but then I see no head.
No head.
So I see a naked body, face down, or, you know, front down, but no head.
No head.
And people are, like, vomiting, you know, and screaming, and
just like this.
Certainly, my name is Dr. Walter Woodworthy, and I'm the 14th president of Plymouth Mather College. It was a beautiful July day. The occasion was the 25th reunion of Sir Harry's class. We'd had probably 250 people respond that they were coming. This was a record number, an absolute record number from a single class, because we knew that on that day, Sir Harry was going to arrive via parachute there in the sky. It would say Plymouth Mather, and then Sir Harry was going to sweep into the quad. The occasion, of course, was his announcement of his leadership gift of $1 billion. I was standing there in the middle of the quad. I was just sort of thinking about what a beautiful day it was. It was crisp and clear and not a cloud in the sky, when all of a sudden there was this whoosh. I can't describe it any other way. It was just a whoosh. And then a kind of tutunk, thump, 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 thump. And one person cried out, "What's that?" And somebody else said, "I think it's a body." And then I heard another person say, "Well, what do you mean it's a body?" And then somebody else said,
"Plymouth Mather is not
that's
my
Sir Harry.
Plymouth Mather is not my alma mater. 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 Plymouth Mather is not my alma mater."
I never was in combat. I'd never seen a dead body before. But that was Sir Harry, and he was dead all right. He didn't have a head. And it looked as though someone or something had just whacked it off, had just severed it. It was, I mean, there was blood, but there wasn't as much blood as I would have thought. I was really surprised about that. There weren't, you know, do you really want all this detail? I mean,
I've seen a lot of bodies, but this was particularly gruesome due to the fact that the body had been so overwhelmingly branded all over. When you use as many brand marks as were used on this body, it's bound to be fairly overwhelming. A branding is using a striker to go in, a heated striker, to go in and cause a wound into the skin. And we burn the epidermis and go down through the epidermis and kill the nerves, and that causes a wound. And eventually it will scar, and the sides of the wound will be raised. And we can use this branding to write on the body.
After the fall, the moon was redder when it rose. When it showed its face above the hills, you wondered what had happened. But did you really want to know? Once it was a face as white as driven snow. Now it was a face quite other than the one you thought you knew. The white grown red as blood shed on New England snow. Some, looking at it, beheld the red man's skull, our pilgrim fathers stuck atop a pole in Plymouth. It sat there for a quarter of a more Christian century. It took a while to rid the country of his seed. We slaughtered or enslaved, traded red for black in the West Indies, brought black men back to build our city upon a hill.
Plymouth is my home turf. I'm the local detective, the point man. So that means I'm the guy holding the pooper scooper after everyone else has done their bit of business. You know that lawn inside the quad at Plymouth Mather? I used to think you could eat your dinner straight off that grass. Now, to be honest, I'd rather dig donuts from the toilet at the town jail.
Beneath their ivy.
I like puzzles. I like mysteries. But I don't like ghost stories. In fact, I hate ghost stories. They remind me of all the questions that don't have answers.
I've seen some weird stuff go on, but, you know, it gets weirder the further up the ladder you go. That's what I've discovered.
Question one. The lab team says, based on the depth of the crater left in the lawn, the victim fell from an altitude of at least 12,000 feet. But according to satellite photographs, there was nothing bigger than a fat seagull within 5 miles of the drop point.
You reach a certain point up the ladder.
Question two.
You're not going to get any answers.
The tattoo expert brought in by the FBI as a consultant estimates that the brands are at least 6 months old, but the widow swears she saw her hubby in his birthday suit the same morning he took his fall, and the only marks on his body were left by her fingernails.
I think there are a lot of unanswered questions about this. And I think there are some things here in our country that just...
But the question that really gets me, the victim's head. Shows up 3 days later in Rhode Island, impaled on a wooden stake. Dutch tourist finds it. Nice lady. Vomits. And she calls 911. Problem is, the lab concludes the head has only been dead for 6 hours. So that means 3 days for the body, 6 hours for the head. Not exactly within the statistical margin of error.
This facade of
Oh, and one last little juicy detail, just because nobody has pissed in my coffee yet. The med examiner tells me the brain has been scooped out and replaced with a substitute. Potatoes. Mashed potatoes.
Then you're not gonna get any answers to it. So, you know, I'm a local detective. Small town.